Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through complex info and pull out what you, the learner, really need. You want to get smart on cool topics fast, right? Without feeling like you're drowning in jargon. Today, we're tackling some pretty advanced mathematics. But hang with us because there are some genuinely interesting aha moments you can definitely grasp.
Yeah, our focus for this deep dive is a specific research paper. It's called Moments in Asymptotics for a Class of SPDEs with Space-Time White Noise. Authors are Chen, Guo, and Song. It just came out of the Transactions of the American Mathematical Society. Now, okay, the title sounds heavy, and, well, it is technical, but the core ideas, the questions it's asking, are surprisingly, elegant, and they connect to how randomness shapes things all around us.
Exactly. Think of it like this. You've got equations describing change, maybe heat spreading out or, like, a wave moving, but these equations have randomness built right in, and this paper looks at a really specific kind of space-time white noise. Imagine, like, total chaos, where every tiny point in space and time gets a completely independent, random nudge. That's kind of the feel of it, pure, unfiltered randomness.
Right, and understanding this mathematically is, well, it's crucial for modeling complex systems. Think physics, probability theory.
Mm-hmm.
It helps predict how these random effects behave over the long haul, you know, the overall statistical picture. And this paper really dives deep into the solutions of these noisy equations.
And they've apparently found some really cool stuff that's got mathematicians buzzing. We're talking actual formulas for statistical properties, confirming some long-held guesses, and even finding connections between different types of these noisy equations you maybe wouldn't expect.
Okay, yeah, let's get into specifics. The paper zooms in on two main examples of these SPDEs, the stochastic heat equation, SHE for short, and the stochastic wave equation, or SWE.
Heat and waves, okay.
Yeah, roughly. She often models things diffusing, like dye spreading in water, but with these constant random pushes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
SWE is more about wave-like things, oscillations, but again, with that random noise shaking everything up constantly, their underlying math is different, leads to different behaviors.
Okay, and here's where it gets pretty interesting, right? They look at something called the P-moment Lyapunov exponent.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds complicated, I know, but think of it as a way to track how the sort of extreme values, the peaks in this noisy system, grow over long, long times.
Exactly. Like if P is 2, it's basically telling you how the overall variance, the spread, changes.
And the crazy thing, especially for the wave equation, was that it wasn't even certain if this long-term growth rate actually settled down to a predictable number.
Right. Which connects to this concept of intermittency.
Intermittency. Okay, what's that?
Imagine you're watching that dye spread out, the heat equation example.
Mm.
Intermittency means you'd mostly see it diffuse kind of smoothly, but occasionally you'd get these really intense, localized hotspots just popping up. Rare, but extreme peaks.
Ah, okay.
For the SHE, the stochastic heat equation, we kind of knew this happens. The math supports it. These random peaks are expected.
But for the wave equation, the SWE, it was fuzzier.
Much fuzzier. There was a big conjecture, or sort of educated guess in the math world, about how quickly these extreme wave events become more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
That Lyapunov exponent we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
The conjecture was it grows in a very specific way as P gets bigger as you look at more extreme events.
Mm-hmm.
It was guessed to go like P to the power of 32.
Wow, that's specific. P to the 32.
Very specific. Now, people had looked at related problems. DeLange, for instance, studied wave equations where the noise was random in space but maybe constant in time.
Mm.
He got some results, bounds involving P to the 43, but his methods didn't quite work for this space-time white noise we're focused on here.
Different kind of noise, different math needed.
Exactly. And others, like Hu and Wang, they looked at different types of space-time noise too. But
yeah.
Again, their assumptions just didn't cover this particular white noise case. So it needed a fresh look.
And this is the big news from the paper.
This is a major result, yeah. Chen, Guo, and Song seem to have actually proved that P32 conjecture for the SWE with space-time white noise. They established matching upper and lower bounds. They show the growth rate really is proportional to P32 for large P, and it grows linearly in time.
So the guess was right.
It appears so. They even give explicit constants, though they mention they might not be the absolute tightest possible values. But still, nailing down that P32 is, well, it's a huge deal. A long-standing open question looks like it's been resolved.
That's really cool. So they didn't just stick to heat and waves.
No, what's really powerful here is they developed a framework for a much broader class of equations. They call them stochastic fractional diffusion equations.
Fractional.
Yeah, think of it like a master control panel for lots of different SPDEs. It includes SHE and SWE as special cases, but allows for more variations.
What kind of controls are on this panel?
Well, there are parameters. There's beta, a fractional order related to time. There's alpha, linked to how things spread in space using a fractional Laplacian. There's also gamma, related to a type of fractional integral, and aliud for the number of spatial dimensions.
Okay, lots of dials to turn, but the point is, this lets them describe many different kinds of noisy evolution.
Precisely. It unifies the study of these different equations, and there's a key rule called DeLange's condition.
DeLange again. What's his condition do?
It's basically a check, a relationship between all those parameters, alpha, beta, gamma, d. It tells you if the solution to the equation is likely to behave well, statistically speaking. Like, do the moments stay finite?
Ah, so it's a reality check for the math. Ensures the solutions make sense.
You could say that. It's crucial for the existence and uniqueness of solutions with finite moments.
So for this whole general family of equations, what did they find? You mentioned a big theorem.
Yes. Theorem 1.1 lays out the main results for this general class. It's broken down into parts. Part A gives explicit formulas for the second moment. That's variance, remember, the overall spread. And interestingly, the formula actually changes depending on whether that time parameter, beta, is between 0 and 1 or between 1 and 2. It points to different fundamental dynamics. They also pin down the long-term growth rate of this second moment.
Okay, what about the more extreme moments, the pth moments?
Right, part B gives upper bounds for those. How fast can they grow? These bounds involve something called the Mittag-Leffler function.
Mittag-Leffler. Sounds important.
It pops up a lot when you deal with fractional calculus. It's sort of a generalized exponential function. And they figure out the asymptotic behavior, how these bounds grow for really large e, or really long times. They find this growth rate related to p raised to the power of 1 plus 1, theta plus 1, where theta combines some of those alpha, beta, gamma parameters.
Okay, so an upper speed limit on growth. Do they find a lower limit too?
Yes, that's part C. They establish lower bounds for these pth moments, though sometimes needing a couple of extra conditions.
Like what?
Like the fundamental solution of the equation needs to be non-negative, or specific parameter settings for the wave equation case, or conditions on the initial state. But the key thing is, these lower bounds match the growth rate of the upper bounds.
Ah, so they've sandwiched it. They know exactly how fast it grows.
Exactly. It strongly suggests they've found the sharp asymptotic behavior for this whole class. And it hints that this intermittency, the formation of rare peaks, is a general feature for many of these systems.
It's interesting how they use these advanced tools, like fractional derivatives and integrals. You mentioned those parameters, beta and gamma.
Yeah, the paper mentions Caputo fractional derivatives and Riemann-Liouville integrals. These are standard tools in fractional calculus. They're actually useful for modeling real-world things that have memory effects or non-local interactions. And the authors show that including them, while adding complexity, doesn't fundamentally break the analysis.
The tools fit the job.
Right. And they also use something called the FOX-H function.
FOX-H function, even more advanced.
It's a very general special function. Think of it as like a meta function that includes many other common functions as special cases. Using it lets them write down the fundamental solutions, the basic building blocks of the solution for their SPDEs in a really unified way, even with all those different alpha, beta, gamma parameters.
Wow. Okay. That's some serious mathematical machinery.
Definitely. And just briefly, for the real math heads listening, they mentioned using Feynman diagram formulas to get those crucial lower bounds in part C of the theorem.
Feynman diagrams? Like from physics?
Similar idea, adapted for probability. It involves analyzing these graphs, these diagrams, and relating them to the moments of the solution through some complex integral calculations, multiple Wiener-Itô integrals. And again, they stress that things like the fundamental solution being positive are really important assumptions for that part of the argument to work.
Okay, that is definitely deep in the weeds.
It is. But the big picture, for you, the learner, is pretty clear. This work represents a really significant advance in our understanding of the long-term statistics for a wide range of systems driven by this fundamental space-time randomness.
And confirming that P32 behavior for the stochastic wave equation that really stands out, it settles a long-standing question, giving us a much clearer picture of how these random waves behave.
Absolutely. And it just highlights how powerful these mathematical tools, fractional calculus, Mittag-Leffler, FOX-H, can be. They aren't just abstract concepts. They're needed to tackle these complex, noisy problems.
Yeah, and it makes you think about the connection between the math, like these growth rates, and potential real-world effects, like intermittency, those sudden spikes, extreme events, maybe in turbulence, maybe finance.
It certainly suggests these mathematical insights could have tangible implications. This research gives us a glimpse into the cutting edge of stochastic analysis and its application across science.
It really does. So maybe the final thought for me to chew on is this. How might these deeper insights into mathematically defined noisy systems change how we understand or even predict real-world phenomena that are just full of randomness unfolding across space and time?
That's a great question to ponder.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.